Tonight, we're going to be addressing and looking at a significant philosophy and worldview that has saturated the culture in which we live. It's not only true in the United States of America, where I'm from, but I believe that's true in the countries of the world today. And that worldview and philosophy we're looking at is postmodernism. I don't know how familiar all of you are with that term. Maybe you're not familiar with it. Others of you may be very familiar with it. But even if you're not familiar with the term postmodernism, you certainly will be familiar with the effect of postmodernism upon the age in which we live. And we want to see and understand that tonight. But as we look at that, there's one question that we zero in on, and that we want an answer to tonight and will receive an answer to. But the question that we have to zero in on as we consider postmodernism and then the biblical answer to it is this: what is truth? The question that postmodernism deals with is that question: what is truth? It's striking that that very question is a biblical question. If you turn later, a few chapters later in the Gospel according to John, John 18, you have that question asked by Pilate to Jesus. In verse 38, Pilate asks Jesus, "What is truth?" This is part of the dialogue that was going on between Jesus and Pontius Pilate when Pontius Pilate was trying Jesus after the Jews brought Jesus before him. And remember, the goal of the Jews was that Jesus would be crucified. But there's this dialogue that goes on between Pilate and Jesus. It starts, when you go back to verse 35, Pilate is speaking there to Jesus and says there, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation, the chief priests, have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And then Jesus answers about his kingdom: "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this then was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So Jesus there brings up that subject of truth. Pilate's response is, verse 38, "What is truth?" But we don't stop there. Notice what Pilate does after he asks the question. He walks away from Jesus. He didn't really want an answer to that question. He didn't think that there was an answer to that question. He walked away with skepticism and indifference. He didn't think that there was a good answer to that question, and he really didn't care about the question, and he certainly didn't care what Jesus had to say in response to that question. The question, though, is important, and Jesus' response, because there are those today who would walk away from that question in the same way that Pontius Pilate did. And there are those who hold to postmodernism. I'm not going to say tonight that Pontius Pilate was the first postmodern man. He certainly wasn't. In fact, it goes back before him. In fact, it goes back to Satan himself, as we'll see in the Garden of Eden. Postmodernism didn't begin there. It's a movement that began in the 1960s, 1970s. But you see postmodernism earlier than that. There's nothing new under the sun. But we want to look at that question tonight: what is truth? Because the answer to that question is of utmost importance. The answer to that question affects everything. It affects how you live your life each day. It affects how you do your work. It affects what you seek after. It affects what you do on Sunday and whether or not you have hope and comfort in this life. when you know that there is objective truth and that Jesus Christ is truth, then there's meaning to life. Then you will live to serve God. Then you will worship the way that He commands in His Word, and you will have hope and comfort in Jesus Christ. But to live without that, to be where Pontius Pilate was, is to live in darkness, the darkness of sin. And then there's no hope and comfort in this life. Then there is no desire to serve God in all of life. What we want to see and understand tonight is that this postmodernism is incompatible with the Christian faith. In fact, postmodernism is a tool of the devil to turn the church from God's truth in these last days. We want to be reminded that the Church of Jesus Christ must be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. We want to grow in our love for the truth of God's Word as well and understand what a precious gift it is that He has given to His church. To understand that and to accomplish that goal tonight, the first thing we have to do is understand what postmodernism is. Postmodernism does not deny that there is a truth. But what postmodernism says is that truth is not absolute, it's not fixed, it's not universal, it's not objective. Postmodernism says that there is not one source of truth, but instead it's this. Postmodernism teaches that every man discovers truth for himself. And that truth that a man knows, comes to discover, that truth can be different for every person. So that truth then is relative. Here are some ways in which men have defined postmodernism, and I'm going to use definitions of men who are critics of postmodernism, Christian critics of postmodernism. Albert Mohler, in a book that he's written, and Albert Mohler is, we may have our disagreements with Albert Mohler, but he's done a lot of reading and study on postmodernism. He's written a book called He Is Not Silent, Preaching in a Postmodern World. And he says this about postmodernism. Postmodernism rejects the very notion of truth as fixed, universal, objective, or absolute. John MacArthur also has written a book called The Truth War, critiquing postmodernism. And he says this about postmodernism. It's a tendency to dismiss the possibility of any sure and settled knowledge of the truth. It's a rejection of every expression of certainty. There are other men who have defined postmodernism with one word. It's a mood. And they say that because, and we're going to see that in a moment, postmodernism is all about feelings. The feelings of man, the emotions of man, that's what rules the day in postmodernism. So postmodernism is an intellectual mood or outlook. That's the very essence of postmodernism. There are many other things that could be said about postmodernism. I'm going to zero in on the heart of that. So that postmodernism says that there is no absolute truth. There's no one source of truth. No one has the corner on the truth. But in that, we have to see and understand right from the beginning that postmodernism really is not consistent. It's not consistent. Postmodernism says that truth is not absolute. But indeed, postmodernism itself has one absolute. The very definition of postmodernism, and they would say that there's no absolute truth, that is a propositional statement that contradicts what postmodernism is. That shows that postmodernism itself is not consistent with itself. And thus, when there's anybody else who says that there is a certain absolute truth, they'll say, no, there's no absolute truth, but that is postmodernism's absolute truth, that there is no absolute truth. Again, logically in our minds, think that makes no sense. And that's exactly the point when it comes to postmodernism. This postmodernism is something that is developed in the history of the world, but I'm not going to cover that tonight. I'm not going to look at how it's come out of modernism, and postmodernism obviously has come out of, it's after modernism. But there are four basics of postmodernism that I'd like to set before you tonight. The first is this. Postmodernism is completely self-centered, or we could put it this way, it's completely man-centered. That is true of any false philosophy or worldview because it does not begin with God. If it doesn't begin with God, it's going to begin with something else, and always it's going to begin then with man. That's also true of postmodernism. Postmodernism has a God. It has a God. But it's not the one true and living God who has created all things, rules over all things, and saves his people. The God of postmodernism is man. Man himself. The idea of postmodernism is not that man finds truth, but man himself determines what truth is. He is the one who determines what truth is. Man creates truth. He doesn't just find it, go on the search and find it as it's out there. No. Postmodernism says, really, that man himself is the source of truth, and then that truth for a man will be different for him compared to what it might be for someone else. So every man comes to his own understanding, then, of what truth is. An important part of postmodernism is language and words. It deals with language and words. But what happens in postmodernism is that the meaning of words is inserted by the reader and not the writer. Now, that's an important point because that's how someone who's postmodernism then goes to the scriptures. He doesn't go to the scriptures to find out what God is saying in the scriptures. But instead, he goes to the scriptures, or any other book for that matter, not to find out what the writer says, but instead what he thinks about what is in that book or here in the Bible as well. For example, if a postmodern man were to read of the life and ministry of Jesus, that he suffered, that he was crucified, that he died, that he arose, that he ascended into heaven, the postmodern man might come to the conclusion that that's all untenable. All the writers of this who wrote these things down in the Bible aren't alive today, so the reader is the one who gives meaning and understanding to those very words. Now, this is why it's so appealing to man. This is why it's so prevalent in our culture today, even though you won't probably find too many men going around saying, I'm a postmodernist. You may be a Christian or you may be a Muslim, but I'm a postmodernist. You may not find many men going around saying that, but it is prevalent in our culture today because it's so appealing to man. Man, from the very beginning, has wanted to be God. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's essentially what Eve wanted. She didn't want God to tell her how to live. She wanted to determine how she would live for herself. And she wanted to determine for herself what was truth. So, postmodernism is man-centered and completely then self-centered. Along with that, the second thing we should understand about postmodernism is that it's feelings and emotions orientated. As one writer put it, postmodernism says this, I have feelings, therefore I am. Feelings and emotions are the source of truth in postmodernism. So if the goal of life is really to feel better about oneself, that's what rules. You can find that in the emergent churches. Maybe you've heard of a man named Rob Bell. He's one of the leaders of emergent churches. He used to pastor a church in just a town over from where it is that I live. And still that church is there. Rob Bell has moved on to other things. He's actually moved on out to California. He wants to make a television series or movie somewhat based on his life. But whatever with all of that. But Rob Bell is one of these men. If you read any of his books, you find that very quickly when you read his books, that for him, experience, feelings, and emotions are everything. He talks about his highest spiritual experiences. And they're not about being in the Word, hearing what God has to say. It's about these experiences out in the creation when he had these feelings of being close to God because of this certain moment that was going on. So you find it there in these leaders. But you find it in many others as well. Joel Osteen or a Robert Schuller, they wouldn't be necessarily considered postmodern men or emergent churchmen in that sense. But still, they're all about man feeling good about himself, self-esteem, being built up. They're not about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that man is a sinner in need of the cross of Jesus Christ. No, they'll talk about Jesus, they won't talk about sin. They just want man to feel good about himself. That's postmodern thinking. It's about the emotions and feelings. The third thing to understand about postmodernism is it's relativistic. Truth is relative. What we have to understand by that is that means that truth is involved in relationships to others in culture and community. We know that the morality of our postmodern age is relative. It's constantly changing. But that's because it's not just that every man determines for himself what is right, but he does that in connection with others. And so that's what's happened in our own day. There's a redefining of morality because man becomes the standard and source of truth. And then men together do that, and that's what has happened in our age. Just to give one example of that, homosexuality. Homosexuality now in our culture is not considered to be sin, but what is sin is to speak against homosexuality and to say from the scriptures that it is sin. That's an example of the relativistic character of postmodernism. And that carries through in so many other things, whether it's abortion, euthanasia, all kinds of other things in our world. And the fourth thing we understand about postmodernism is that it's pluralistic. There's no one religion that has the market on God and spirituality and truth. Instead, truth is found in all different religions and all different experiences, so that all religions and all experiences are like spokes of a wheel. So with a wheel, you have all these spokes, and all the spokes go to the same place. They go to the middle. So that's true of all the different religions of the world today. You can find a little bit of truth in that, a little bit of truth in that, a little bit of truth in that. Man determines for himself where he's going to find that truth in all those different religions, all these different philosophies, all these different worldviews, and that becomes his understanding of truth, and it doesn't matter because it all leads to the same place anyway. All of that is very appealing to man. We have to recognize that. We have to recognize that because that it's appealing to man and we all have sinful natures means we have to be aware of the great danger of postmodernism. It's a danger for us. I'm not crying wolf here when I say that tonight. It's a danger for us. We want to see it in the world around us, but we have to be careful that this postmodern age in which we live doesn't affect us. This is the world in which we and our children live. And this is a powerful tool of the devil to influence the church. That's his goal, to take the church away from the truth of God's Word. It's easy to look at the emergent churches and see how postmodernism has affected the emergent churches. It's easy to see how postmodernism has affected our age. Not so easy to see how it may be affecting us. And the great danger is this. The great danger is that if the church begins to adopt, to absorb the thinking of postmodernism, what it's going to do is open the church up to every false doctrine that has ever been taught or promoted in the church world. If you want any evidence of that, all you have to do is look at the emergent churches. They question every fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith, including the doctrine of the Trinity. So the church that begins to absorb postmodernism will begin to open its doors to false doctrines. Satan knows that. That's what he wants for the church, because that leads the church away from Christ. And so that's why Satan wants us to have this postmodern mind. We have to be aware of this. How does postmodernism, how could it influence us? First of all, in television, I don't know how many of you watch television, but Errol Hulse, in a little pamphlet he's written on postmodernism, has written that TV is, quote, the medium of postmodernism. And this is true because TV brings us into a world of unreality that's portrayed as reality. People watch television not because reality is portrayed there. If it was reality, they wouldn't watch it. There's nothing interesting usually in reality. People don't want to watch a television program based on my life or on your life. Reality is boring in our world today. But there are so many reality programs. I don't know about here, but in the United States, there's so many reality programs. Bachelor, Bachelorette, Duck Dynasty. Maybe you've heard about Duck Dynasty and all that's gone on there. These are reality programs. They're not reality. They're absolutely not reality. But instead, they promote a postmodern mood and worldview. That there's no one true religion. That there is no one right way to live. Even news is affected by postmodernism. I don't watch our local news any longer. Why not? Well, because there's not really news there. They don't report the news. They don't report hard facts of things that have happened. But instead, what they do is flash a bunch of images in front of you. At least that's what they do by us. They flash many images in front of us. And then they tell us how it made people feel. Even the weather report in our land is not about, this is how the weather's going to be tomorrow. No. It's all from a different perspective. How it makes people feel, how they feel about it, and then even bringing in Mother Nature and all the rest. That's the postmodernism that enters in. And just watching the news can be a way in which the devil is trying to influence the way in which we think. Our children and young people will face this if they go to university. Personally, I went to a Christian university, Christian college. And as I look back upon it, now I see the postmodernism that I faced, or I didn't see it at the time. Take, for example, the issue of creation. I went to a Christian college where the professor there believed in some kind of theistic evolution. He would allow me to have my position. I made known to him what my position was. I believe that the scriptures teach a six-day creation. God created in six 24-hour days. The one thing that he wanted me to do, though, is can't you just admit that maybe there's another way to look at creation? That's postmodernism right there. He's telling me, I don't want to enter into a debate about this, what's right and what's not, but both are right. Can't that be true? That we'll have both of these things. Evolution and six-day creation. That was my experience of it. As I talked to others who went to a secular university, they basically had the same thing there. They expected to get into debates and fights. That's not what happened when they got there. People were really willing to hear what they had to say, but then they also expected this same in return, that we would just listen to what they say and not say anything and determine whether one was right and the other was wrong. That's the postmodernism in which we live. And if you go to university, or your children go to university someday, these are the things that they're going to face. You find this in churches today. Postmodernism has affected churches in our day. The emergent church movement. You have pastors who are concerned about being hip. The Grand Rapids Press, as it reported on Rob Bell, said that he puts the hip in discipleship. That's the catchy phrase that they use there. He puts the hip in discipleship. These men are known for being hip. They're wanting to help people in dialogue and conversation. They talk about this journey that they're on. Journey not to find truth, really, not absolute truth, but for every individual, basically, to find truth for themselves. And what happens is Rob Bell, Brian McClair, and other men who are like them, they write books and preach sermons that only raise a bunch of questions, question after question after question, with very few, if any, answers. But the people in those churches are left with no answers, no hope, and no comfort. And that's what we find in our age today as well. Postmodernism affects the church, and they're not wanting to be confessions. They want to be confessional because statements of truth are not trendy in our day, and it creates division as well in the church, and we don't want that, they would say. Bible study turns into a time of self-discovery. Every person around the table is just saying, well, this is what I think about the passage, and this is what I think about the passage. That's not Bible study. That's not going to find what God has to say in the passage and understanding the truth of that passage. That's pop psychology in our day. Postmodernism is in our pop psychology, and I find, at least in our country, it has such an influence, not just on the world, but in the church. That's a great danger. So that's all based on emotions and feelings. A couple's having marriage problems. They go to a counselor. What does the counselor tell them? And some Christian counselors. Well, your marriage doesn't make you happy? You don't feel happy? Well, then just get rid of that. Get out of that marriage. Get rid of that husband. Get rid of that wife. And find one that will make you happy. That's postmodernism. And the effect that it's had, even on that. Question for us is, how much has it affected us? Do we make decisions based on feelings and emotions? Is that what becomes most important for us? Postmodernism pretends to be a friend of Christianity. It seems to embrace it and be open to it. That's how Satan comes. That's how Satan came to Eve. I'm your friend. I'm going to help you. That's the way Satan came. But he's deceptive. Always what Satan does, he wants to bring an alternate explanation of truth. That's what he did when he came to Eve. God said to Adam, you eat of that tree, you'll die. Satan came and said, no, that's not true, Eve. But instead, the day you eat of it, you'll become like God. You'll become like God. The exact opposite of what God said. Satan comes into the world today and brings that alternate explanation, opposite explanation of what truth is. And he's saying to the world today, you can find truth for yourself. You can discover it for yourself. You don't need the Bible. You don't need the church. You don't need the confessions that God has given, the history that God has given the church. You can find it all by yourself. And people are taking that in and loving that. In contrast to this postmodernism, we need to understand tonight what truth is. Postmodernism is a fierce, relentless, deceptive enemy of truth. God has given truth. Remember the question we're facing. What is truth? Well, we want to look to the Scriptures for a few moments tonight to see and understand what truth is. This is such an important concept in the Bible. Do you know how many times the word truth is used in the Old Testament? 126 times, or the main word for truth is used there. 126 times. The word for truth in the New Testament used some 115 times. The New Testament word for truth means what is authentic and real. Truth is reality. Now, the reality we're talking about here is not 2 plus 2 equals 4. The reality that we're talking about is the reality of God, the reality of man, the reality of man's sin and his need for a Savior. Truth, then, is the revelation or self-expression of God. Because what is real, what is authentic, begins and ends with God. God is the author, the source, the determiner, the governor, the arbiter, the ultimate standard, and the final judge of truth. That's because the Bible tells us God is truth. What's the definition of truth? There it is. God is truth. You want to know truth? You have to go to God and His Word where He's given us that truth. We know that because His only begotten Son that He sent to this world to suffer and die, He also came for another purpose. He came to reveal truth. And the Scriptures tell us as well that He is truth. John 14, verse 6, He is the way and the truth and the life. But that's also why I read John 8 tonight. John 8, as Jesus speaks there of truth. Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Question is there, what is that truth? Well, the Pharisees here, they object to what Jesus says. The truth shall make you free. They understood what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you're in bondage. And they say in verse 33, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They didn't know their sin. They didn't know the bondage of sin. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." But now, what is it that sets them free? Verse 32, He says, truth. Verse 36, He says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The point we want to glean out of this passage is that Jesus Himself is the one who is truth. He is the truth because He is the Son of God. He is the truth because He is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, as we read in Hebrews 1, verse 3. So what this means is that truth is fixed. Truth is absolute. Truth is universal. And truth is changeless. The source of truth is God Himself. And what an amazing thing. In this world of darkness and sin, which includes the postmodernism of our age, God has given to us an amazing gift. In this world of darkness and sin, God reveals truth. We can and we do know truth because the sovereign, almighty, gracious, self-disclosing work of God. God, the author and source of truth, reveals truth to us. And He does that in His Word. That's what Jesus says in John 17, verse 7. "Thy Word is truth." Here's truth. Right here in the Scriptures. There's no other book like it in the entire world. 66 different books written by many different men, but really there's one author, and that author is God Himself. And as we sang tonight in Psalm 19, this book is able to make the simple wise. This book is filled with truth because it is the true Word of God. And we can understand this Bible and understand truth in it because Jesus Christ has given to His church the Spirit of truth. Striking, is it not? that not only is Jesus Christ called truth and God has given the name truth, but the Holy Spirit is called as well the Spirit of truth. This Holy Spirit that Jesus has poured out on the church gives to the church the ability to see and understand truth. What an amazing gift God has given to His church. And this truth is content. There are propositional statements of truth that we find in the Scriptures, and they're found in the confessions then, the creeds that we have, Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, as we have in the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort, and the Westminster Confession that some of you may be familiar with as well. And the truth that we understand and know from the Scriptures as summarized in those documents is that God is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and He's done that in 6 24-hour days. He's the Lord of all things. He's sovereign. God is the Lord, has chosen His people from eternity to be His own. And election, and then there's reprobation as well. Jesus Christ is the Son of God become flesh. And the truth is that we are guilty sinners who deserve only the wrath of God. And the only way of salvation is Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ made payment for the sins of the people that His Father had given to Him from all eternity. These are truths that God's people know with certainty and conviction. And that's the truth that sets us free. This truth is not just something for the mind. It is propositional truth. There are things that we understand and must understand about God. But this knowledge of truth is not just a mental thing. It's also a knowledge of the heart. Where we understand the love of God for us, and we love Him knowing who He is and how we are saved by His grace. That's the beautiful truth of the Word of God. Now, the question is, remember, what is truth? The postmodern age in which we live says that every man comes to discover truth for himself. Wrong answer. The answer of the Scriptures is God is truth, and He gives us truth in His Scriptures, which teach us not only what we are to believe, but then how we are to live in the midst of this world. What we want to do at the end of our lecture tonight is understand then, as we know the truth, how we are to respond to the postmodernism of our age. That is an important question. That is an important question because Christians have responded in different ways to the postmodernism of our age. One way that the church has responded is to embrace postmodernism and merge Christianity with it. That's what the emergent church has done. They've embraced postmodernism and they've tried to fit it together with Christianity. That's the heart and the core of the emergent church. So that, Rob Bell says, they've redefined truth. They've repainted the Christian faith. Well, they have. But what they've done is that they basically said there are no boundaries anymore. There are no objective propositions that we're going to believe. There's nothing that is certain. But everything is about mystery and uncertainty. Yep, they would say the Bible's important and it's one place that we can go to find some truth, but it's only one place among millions of places where one can go to find truth. It's not the only place. And that's because they've taken postmodernism and tried to fit it together with Christianity and with the Bible. And so then it's just all about a matter of interpretation, not just of the Bible, but interpretation of everything else. We have to see and understand tonight that that does not work. In fact, the Word of God forbids this in 2 Corinthians 6. It's trying to put light and darkness together. It's trying to put Christ and Belial together. It's trying to put together two things that are opposed to each other. And the result is that this does not work. The result is that you don't find in the emergent churches the truth of God and something else. But what happens is the truth of God is completely lost. And that's the danger for those who are attending such churches. The danger is so great for them. If we owe anybody who's attending such churches in our love for them, we should be calling them to come out because we're concerned for their souls. What happens in such a church is that they're in bondage, according to John 8. According to John 8, the truth sets free. Outside of that truth is only bondage. In the darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief, there is only bondage. Instead, we should see and understand then tonight that the church is called to resist this postmodernism, but that's simply negative. Okay, we have to be distinct and separate from it. The positive is this: the church is called to love the truth. That's our response to postmodernism. Not embrace postmodernism, but instead we are to love the truth of God's Word. That's the calling of the Scriptures in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. We read there, we should read 9 with it, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders," that's talking about the Antichrist there, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So there it's talking about why it is that some are led away by the Antichrist. They don't have a love for the truth. But what that says positively to the church is that the church, in this age in which we live, as we know Satan is working to bring the Antichrist, the church must love the truth. Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We must love the truth. Why is that? Because if you love God, you will love truth. God is truth. If you love Jesus Christ, you will love truth, because He is the way and the truth and the life. And if you love Jesus Christ and you love God and you love the truth, then this is what you'll do with that truth. You will believe it. You will defend it, according to Jude 3 and 4. You'll buy it, says Proverbs 23, verse 23. And that means you'll seek it and you will obey it. That's our calling tonight. Love the truth. Believe the truth. Defend the truth. Buy the truth. Seek the truth. Live by that truth. Live by that truth of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So that means for us, let's turn off our televisions. Let's be careful about what it is that we read and take into our minds. Understand the danger of what Satan's trying to do to the church. And let's be in the Word. Understand the Word. Know the Word. And live by that Word as well, because God is a God of truth. Not only tells us what we are to believe, He also tells us how we are to live. And that makes all the difference, as I said at the beginning, for life. What is truth? God's given us His truth. Believe it, love it, and live it. Thank you for your attention.